Thank you for listening to Torah Media Atlanta. Won't you consider making a donation to help support this important work? Just go to TorahMediaAtlanta.com and click on the donate link. Thank you very much.
Okay, last week we left off discussing the three different types of kirvas, the three different types of relationships, the relationship in space, physical closeness that we can have. We can have the relationship as far as family, father-son type of brother relationship, and we of course have the relationship of friends, which is one which is born out of the two people deciding that they want to be close and creating that friendship. And the question is, of course, how do we then create that with the Kadosh Baruch Hu? We could talk about wanting to be close. Hard enough for us to imagine what that means. When we think about those three types of closeness, how do we create that? What's the tool? What's the microscope, as you were just saying before I walked in, to be able to see that which you're really close to, yet we don't have the ability to perceive it? In the scientific world, we needed an extra tool. What tool do we use to create that closeness between ourselves and the Kodesh Baruch Hu? Okay, let's start. Number one on your sheet. Anu nichso dvarim pshutim, says the author. We are going to write simple things. Shebepashtosh nira lo'odom shukvar yodeo osam, that in its simplicity it appears to the person that he already knows them, that you're not saying anything. You're saying something simple that's well known. Ulam be'emes, mishemeven es ha'avoda hapnim, is he who understands what it's like to have an internal, an inner type of avoda. Yodea shekol avoda sa'odom, hula avoda al hadvorim hapshutim v'hayiduim. Our avoda is, this is the words of the Mesil Sisharm when he opens up his entire sefer, it's the things that we know that we're not focused on. It's the things that we have to work on. It's the things that we have to pay attention to and develop a relationship. And it's almost sometimes because of their simplicity, because of how well known that they are, that we don't necessarily pay attention to them. A simple example, for those of you who heard Rabbi Levi Greenspan speak over Shabbos, who lost his eyesight. So one of the things that he said is, you have to appreciate all the things that you have. You have to appreciate, I can still walk, I can still talk. Is that a chiddush to anyone?
I didn't say any chiddush. It was very simple.
Right? Nothing.
Straightforward.
But you know what? I walked out of there and said, I have to appreciate the things in my life. And I sat down and I was inspired. So what did I do because of the inspiration that I had? I actually thought of things that I have in my life that I need to be grateful for. No chiddush. Anyone could have said that. I could have given that shmooze myself. And I wouldn't have thought of it as much as when I heard it from someone else who was in a position to inspire me. That's what life often is about. The most important types of avodah that we have are not necessarily novel ideas. We're going to talk a lot about why that is now. But it's in the simple things where we have to focus our attention to be able to deepen our relationship with those things which we already know. Skipping a line, at the end of the fourth line, Hanukuda Havirura Shetzarch Lizkor La'orach Kol Aderchi, the one simple point that we have to keep in mind the entire weight of our journey, Shetzarch Lakachas Es Hadvarim BePshitus Gemur, to take all pieces of information and whittle it down to its simplest form, Ulekaimum BePshitus Gemura, not with fancy ideas, fancy concepts, understand the core at its simplicity. The closer you get to its simplicity, then you'll get down to its simplest form, closest to the truth. And when the person begins to put in all of his calculations and he begins to add in all of his fancy understandings, who yinasa lechashben called him, and he wants to calculate and understand everything, kach kein chas v'shalom yirachik min emes, that's going to lead him farther away from truth, farther away from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Tzorach lahovin shesod hachayim hapnimim hu olam shel pashas nafshas. The idea of kind shenashat bin Torah, just like our soul is pure, our understanding has to be pure, has to be simple. Now we're going to explain for those of you who are thinking, but wait a minute, our understanding is, we have to understand things in their depth, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu is really complex, and ultimately, yes, we'll get to all that. And yet at the same time, there's an understanding of all of these simple levels which we're going to get to. Yeah?
Just a mashal to help me wrap my mind around it, because it sounds very philosophical, but what would be a mashal for, the more we whittle something down to its simplest form, the more we get to its emes? Can you give me anything tangible that I can work with? in terms of just what is that? That sounds like a very deep philosophical statement, and one that we accept as being true, but I have no concept of what it really means, to be honest with you.
I'm thinking of something that I think I want to avoid that, because that might... There are a couple of, kind of like when I read this, what I was thinking of is two ideas, and they're different ideas, but in the sense of, number one, there's a concept in science, I think there are differences in pronunciation, Occam's razor. If you have various ways of explaining something, and one is more complex and one is simple, you always go with the one that's more simple. You have within the human being, you have the concept of the cell, that at the end of the day, we're a very large unit, and the very large unit of the single body, each one of us would be considered individuals, yet within each individual you have many different components between head and torso and arms and legs, and then within each thing you have, it's comprised of heart and, you know, all these different organs, and each one, when you keep breaking it down, yeah, gets down to the exact same DNA of a cell, so that it's really at its core the same. Then it becomes differentiated as it gets larger and expanded into the different components. But at its core, it's really one. If you want to know what is the core, you keep going down to its simpler form. I'm not sure if it's a perfect mushel or if that helps explain or clarify that concept, but there's that kind of trying to whittle it down into its simpler components as opposed to understanding it at its more complex.
And when we say that it's like truth, I mean, like, you can break down the table into a bunch of atoms. I mean, you can do that with people too, to some degree. But what are we saying that, so when you break it down to its core, it's there for? What have I accomplished if I'm able to break something down to its core?
That's really what it is.
But we're talking about concepts. We're not talking about physical things, though.
That really is what it is.
Yeah. Okay.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay, but let's move on, because this is really just an induction thing, and it's not worth getting trapped in this, because we're going to get to the real difficult stuff. Although it's going to be simple, so don't worry about it. Okay, Memhei, Mahi Osa Nekuda Shekol Adam Tzorach Lahaschil La'avod Bo. Okay, so what is this big Nekuda? What is the point, this simple idea that we have to start with? So we'll summarize the entire thing in these two lines right here. Hi Hahakara Sheyesh Borei La'olam. That is the recognition that there is a creator in the world. Hakara Pshuta Umirura Sheyesh Borei La'olam. The simple recognition that's clear that there is a creator. Now, before we even go on, you're going to say, well, that's really simple. I mean, we got all the way up to here to this point. This is the fourth week, just to get to the idea that there's a creator. We all know that already. Yeah, of course we know that already. Of course, you know that already, and we're going to discuss this a lot. So let me, before we even read more how the author is going to describe this, I just want to describe in my mind exactly what he's discussing. There are many questions in life which are yes or no questions. Yes or no question. Do you know the capital of the state of Idaho? That's a yes or no question. Answer could be no. The answer could be yes. There are lots of issues like that. In Midos, we all know, there is no such thing as a yes or no question. Is this person a nice person or not a nice person? Is he a Baal Chesed or is he not a Baal Chesed? Is he a Baal Emes? Does he speak the truth? That's not a yes or no question, because we know. I mean, we're a spectrum. You can ask me, where on the spectrum is he in Chesed? Like, how often, how willing is he? But you can't say a person does or doesn't have that midah. It's just a question of how much or how often does it express itself. That's what a midah means. A midah means a measure. Because it's not a yes or no question. We are very often misled into thinking that the question of emuna, do you believe in God or do you not believe in God, is which type of question. So we get misled into thinking it's a yes or no question. We are in the group of those who say yes, and there's a group out there who says no, and our task in life, one of the tasks, is to help those Jews who are in the category of no, to get them to see that in fact there is, but that once you're a believer, you're in. The answer is yes. I believe there is a God. I believe in creation. I believe in Shabbos. I believe in the Torah. The answer is yes. And the reality is that it's not a yes or no question. Just like a midah, in which there are lots of errors in the structure, no one would ever say, I'm a Baal Chesed, I'm done. I no longer have to work on it. I'm a kind person. And look at all the Chesed that I do. Nobody would say that. We all know that every day in life presents new challenges with those midos. and it's a constant growth, it's a constant moving the chains on that spectrum to become greater in whatever midah we're working on, be it midah, be it MS, be it chesed, whatever, ahava, you name it, it's there, yira. The aspect of emunah has that same concept, and it's a mistake to ever think that it's a yes or no question. I'm a maimon, I believe, I'm done, I keep Shabbos, I keep kashrus, I believe in the Torah. Emunah is not on my list anymore. I don't have to work on it. I'm there. I believe. It's not true. Simply not true. Emunah is that same type of midah which constantly requires every day the task to strengthen a greater level of emunah. And it's a spectrum. How much do you believe? Well, I believe however much. I'm aware of the fact that there's a Boreal, that there's a creator of the world, and that he's part of my life. And the more I believe that, the more that spectrum becomes real. Or it can become less. But it's a spectrum that has to be worked on. A question that, when I first saw this question, was a little bit frightening to me. If I were to ask you, I don't want the answer. At what age did you become a maimon? At what age would you say that you accepted and believed in your mind that there is a Ribbono Shel Olam, there is a creator, and he exists?
Fine.
Some might be children. If you grew up in a frum household, you would say, I wouldn't know. That's what I grew up with. I don't know, 4, 5?
Still working on it.
Still working on it, right? Maybe it's a 10, it's a 20. I don't know, whatever it was.
Day 1.
It's a frightening thing if a person can say, my understanding of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the same as it was. My level of belief is I believed and then I'm done. I sort of got locked in and now I'm 35 and I have the same level of emunah as I did when I was 10, when I was 12, or even if when I was 30. 5 years go by, nothing changed, you didn't have any more of a relationship. But it's the kind of thing that requires an amount of effort and work to be able to do so. He brings an example which I didn't photocopy. I'm not going to read inside. What's the difference? What are we trying to work at when we talk about that growth? When we're talking about changing and developing in that level, simply put, living with it. This is something we've been building up, this idea of the difference between knowing something and living with something. The example that he brings is there's a $200 million lottery, major, major lottery. Everyone's buying a ticket. Somebody wins, and it happens to be an acquaintance, somebody you know. You don't really know him, he's not a good friend, but it's somebody you know back from 20 years back, living somewhere else, and you heard that he won. What's your reaction when you hear that so and so won $200 million?
I should have had that
lottery
right? We'll give you a name. I don't know, whatever your reaction is, it could be that reaction, right? Whatever it is, you're excited for him. I wish that were me. Maybe I'll get in touch with him again. Whatever it may be. I don't know. But what's your reaction? Whatever your first reaction was, what will be your thought process 2 hours later? Maybe you'll remember. Maybe you'll remember to tell your wife, your kids, did you hear so-and-so won $200 million? What about a week later? Probably, if it's just an old acquaintance that you remember, you knew him in high school, you know, that won't be part of your life. Every couple of months, when something will come up, you'll say, oh yeah, I remember he won the lottery. Let's go back to that guy. Let's call him Shloimeh. What's Shloimeh's experience when he finds out that he won the $200 million?
It worked. I rigged it. It worked.
Right? Whatever it is.
A little bit happy.
Right? A little bit happy, but more than happy, take yourself through his world for the next week. Every single moment of his day is consumed with what am I going to do now? In every arena, meaning like, what will I do with the money? What am I going to invest it in? What am I going to spend it on? How am I going to relate to my parents, to my children, to my friends? What I do at work? You name it. There is no aspect of his life that will not be consumed by the fact that he's now $200 million richer than he was the day before. And that will last not a day, not 2 days, not a week, not a month. A long time will go by until he settles into his new life, if ever. Until he goes bankrupt, as most people who win the lottery do. But the point is, says the author, for some people it's a yiddi, it's a piece of information. Okay, I have it. But if it's you, it's not a piece of information. It's life-altering. You can't separate that piece of information from everything that affects your life. You can't. It's too invasive. It's too all-inclusive. It's too consuming.
You can just understand like a fish in water. It's not like a thing he knows. It's him. It's what he is. He's a $200 million man. That's who he is now.
Correct.
Separate.
So our task is to take the fact that we know that there's a Ribono Shel Olam, we know that there's a Creator, and to live it in a way that if we really understood that, then it would become part of our lives in a way where it's part of what we do, part of who we are. Let's see, Mem Zayin, this is number two. Kosam Nebetchila Shetachlus V'chovas Adam Olam Ahulios Karo V'dovak L'Bor Yolam. We've been discussing that the purpose of man's creation in this world is to become close, to cling to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. V'chidei Shehadam Yadovak U'mechubu L'Dovar. In order for me to be close or cling to anything, Mukhrach Shiyadovar. Well, there has to be something out there that I'm close to. If the thing, the object that I want to become close to, a nenu kayemes, does not exist, Kate said, Yidovik, Adam, Adavish, Enu kayem. How are you going to come close to something which doesn't exist? How are you going to do that? When we talk about being close to Hashem, close in space, close in relationship, close as a friend, Behechrech Shiyargish Tchila, first you have to feel Bevorer clearly Shakadosh Baruch Hu Kayim. We have the idea. Where is the concept right now? It's in our heads that he's there. Are we living that? Do we feel that? Well, it's hard to be close to a concept. I have a concept. If I ask you who here believes in God, everyone's going to raise their hand. Who here feels, recognizes, walks in around with that sense? More difficult. I won't ask that question. So now it's all being close. Being close to what? To a concept, an idea that I have in my head? That's hard to do. It's hard to grasp like what that would look like. Of course it's hard to grasp what that would look like, because how are you close to something which exists in a concept in your mind? If a person tries to come close, if a person tries to come close to Hashem before his heart feels, senses, lives that there is a Creator, you're really lacking a belief. Not a, the belief is there, but the reality, the living that he's in existence. In the depths of your hearts, you're trying to come close to something that you're not really living with, that's there. Therefore, the first task is Reishis Lachush B'chol Levavo Mamish Sheyesh Borei La'olam. What microscope? We left off last week with. Well, what microscope do we have to feel that he's close? Well, the task is to feel Lachush B'lev, to feel in our hearts that there is a Borei La'olam. V'rak La'achar Mikan L'nasos L'amo L'hiskaragel. Then we come close to him. Now, this is what we're talking about, simple. This is something that we all know. I'm not saying anything that anybody here doesn't know, but then we get to the question of, but is it something that I feel, or is it something that I know? Is it something that I live, or something that if I ask you, do you believe in God? The answer is, of course. And I do not mean to say in any way, shape, or form, there are moments in all of our lives and all of our days which we feel it. There's no question about not coming to say that we don't. We do. But is it something that we would come close to saying that even for 2 hours of the day, like 2 hours of the day that we're living? I don't know. Let's say yes. We got to get to 24. Even when we're davening, as we've mentioned many times, we sometimes are lacking a sense that we're really talking to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You really don't have to go any farther than the fact that I know people who are guilty of pulling out their BlackBerry to check an email in the middle of davening. I've seen it happen. I mean, there's no way that that person, that unnamed Jew, really believes he is conversing with the King of Kings, the Melech Malchei Melachim, who created him, when he does that. It's a yiddish. If you would ask him, who are you talking to? Kadosh Baruch Hu, can't you see? Why are you disturbing my davening? Really? You believe that? You really believe that, the way that you're carrying on? There's no way. So it's in my head. Of course the person would say they're talking to Kadosh Baruch Hu. The person is a maimon. He believes. He keeps Shabbos. He keeps Kashrus. And it's nowhere near his heart. Because it's impossible. It's just impossible. So the task is, first, to move from the idea in our head to a feeling in our hearts that it's real. So that we're working, I'm working on believing in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He said, that's weird. You're going to this Chabur in 4 weeks and all you're coming out with is you're working on believing in HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Well, of course. And the answer is yes. That needs work. That needs work. Because my davening would be different, my learning would be different, my mitzvahs would be different, my work would be different. If I really believed that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was with me and that there was a relationship and that he was existed in the world, not just in my head and not just in my knowledge. Fighter. Nun.
When you introduced the muscle with the money,
mm-hmm.
was the premise there that we're trying to move from the person, from the friend,
yes, exactly.
to that actual
right. No, so right now, we're at a stage exactly as Carl. He says that explicitly. I didn't conclude that. I thought. Thank you. Right now, we're at that stage of we know that. Did you hear someone won the lottery? Sure, I knew that.
But it doesn't affect our life.
It doesn't affect my life. So if I ask you, do you believe in Kashmir? The answer is yes. And we're a little bit better than that. It does affect our lives. We keep the mitzvahs, we keep Shabbos, and if you ask why, because I'm a friend. Why don't you violate Shabbos? Because I know there's a Ribbono Shel Olam, there's a punishment, there's a reality. We do, and it does affect us. I don't mean to downplay like we have like no shaychus to the Kadosh Baruch Hu at all. We do. But it's in that sense of how many moments a day are we living that reality? So on those moments on Shabbos where you're thinking of doing something and you don't, you're living it. That's a great moment. That's a moment of chiyus. It's a moment where a Jew is living with his belief because he's come into a clash with his belief and his actions, which if I do this, I believe that I'm not allowed to do it, and I'm not going to do it because I believe in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That moment he's actually expressing the reality of his belief in the Ribbono Shel Olam. But most of our day isn't at that point. We're not brought to that point because of our day, and therefore he remains in the background. And it's not at that stage where the person who won the lottery for that first week he wakes up and the first thing, what's his first thought in the morning? Right? His last thought when he goes to bed, his first thought when he wakes up, and every moment in between is consumed with, what am I going to do with this $200 million? There's no aspect of his life that can exist without it. None. Nimsim kein shemish mechapes emes. He who's looking for truth, who reishis tzorach levarer es emunosu apshutza. He first needs to clarify his emuna pshutza, the simple level of his emuna. Es emuna pshutza sheish borer leolam. This is that simple point. There is a creator. There is a creator. Hanakuda harishona shal ha'odam lahaskel ba. Who reishis levarer lo. The first point is to clarify sheish borer leolam besichlo. Now, this is where we talked about the ideas of simplicity and complexity. Because if you open up the Rambam, you open up many of the philosophers, a person needs to use his mind to look into the world and to discover Kadosh Baruch Hu, and to understand it. And that, this is one of the paragraphs that I skipped, that in photocopy, there's a concept in Rav Schwartz's understanding, says there's Chochma, Bina, and Das. Chochma and Bina are two levels of knowledge. A knowledge base. Chachma is a simple knowledge base. Bina is building on that. That's where we have to use our minds to grasp and understand and think about that there's a creator. But Das is where it synthesizes with the person and he lives as a knowledge. It's no longer just that I have that knowledge, but it's actually become a part of who I am.
So, Das versus Bina?
Yeah. So the first stage is using your seichel to come to an understanding. That's required. I must do that. I have to use my seichel and get to the point that I believe in a Kadosh Baruch Hu. That part we're up to. There's always room, more room for that. You can read all the books, permission to believe, permission to receive. Read all the arguments, read all the philosophers' discussions. There is a God, there isn't a God. And come to the conclusion that there is. And with a better understanding, that it has to be. But now that you've come to that conclusion, then you need to take it from your head, where you can argue with a philosopher and prove to him, yes, there is. But now it has to go from our head into our hearts. That's not just that if somebody asks me on the street, I can give them an argument, but that I'm walking down the street with it. That is simple. That's no longer the complex arguments where you know the arguments and the counter-arguments to each one of the possible philosophical arguments, yes or no. Then it's a matter of, I believe yes, and it's with then simplicity, with pashtus, that we then take it into, I now walk and live with a concept of, there is a borei olam. That's simple. How did you get to that conclusion? That might be complex. Use your mind, use all of your philosophical arguments. Once you conclude yes, then I, with simplicity, transform that into, there is a borei olam. There is a borei olam that becomes a running stream of consciousness, which we will get to. Kolomer, top line there on the other side of the page. To be mevar in his seichel, to clarify in his mind, to be a maimon that there is a borei olam. And then after in his mind he's come to that clarity, then it's to take it from there and to live with it. And that's where we're picking up. This sefer is picking up after permission to believe. Now, how do you live with it? I believe! Great, but you're not done. You're just starting. Now, how do you take that from your head into your heart? To live with it. I can tell you how difficult this task is. This is week number 4. I, as much as I've given minor homework assignments, have not given enough, and can tell you that other than the moments when I think, oh, I have to prepare for the next week, even while I'm working on this sefer, I'm not actively spending significant more time thinking about it than before the sefer. It's a tough task. It's a hard, is good at just, you know, pushing as a believer, but you need to be working on it. You need to be actively working on what's the task to create an existence where I'm aware with a stream of consciousness more than before that there is a borei olam. That is a simple thought. There is a creator. That's it. There is a creator. Yesh borei olam.
Let me ask you something on that note. Please. This whole idea of belief, I'm not coming here to show him as a heretic or to play devil's advocate, but clearly when we talk about do you believe in God, I mean, speak on behalf of everyone in this room, I'm sure you get an answer yes, mm-hmm. but the quality of belief that each of us has, I'm sure, is quite different.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't it possible that this task of moving forward, like, you know, you say where permission to believe leads off and this one begins, that we're all experiencing our belief in God on various levels of conceptuality. Like on some mm-hmm. level, it's like, I believe it because, you know, the rabbi told me, that's enough. And on other levels, I believe it because I'm learning it day in, day out, and I
fine.
To some degree, I see it.
Yeah.
So won't all of us come to this next level, you know, much more slowly than someone who has a head, you know, someone who's brainwashed by this.
Whatever level you're at, on whatever level you're at, if you're within the category of a believer, are you living that belief, or do you have that belief? And it's true. Someone might have a simplistic, I grew up with it, I believe it, and is not living it. And someone might have worked through all the philosophical arguments, and also not be living it.
So are we? So it sounds like you're saying that it really doesn't matter what level of belief you have vis-a-vis moving on to that. I'm on my own level. I'm saying if I don't believe my convictions are that strong, you know, based on the way I'm living my life necessarily, can we then say that, oh, look, you don't have to worry, you're going to be able to come to this as well as...
No, it's exactly what you just said. You just said based on the way you're living your life. Why did you add that?
Because we're all different.
I don't know if you meant to say what you said. What you said was, if you looked at the way that I lived my life, you would see, this is what you said, you might not have meant it, I'm clarifying.
I probably didn't mean
it. You would see, I must have a certain belief level because I wouldn't be doing the things I'm doing because of that.
I listen to. All right.
But that's exactly the point. But if I ask you, I want to have a conversation. Do you believe that there is a Borei Olam, that there's a creator who is watching everything that you're doing? I'm not asking how you live your life. Do you believe conceptually in that?
I would say yes, but I don't know if I'm just saying yes because I'm blindly saying yes. Because in theory, if I really believed what I was saying,
so that's,
then
no,
my
that's
actions would probably be so much different.
No, that's what this is.
Stone him.
Yeah. That's what the point is. The point is, that is exactly what he's talking to, in that there's a gap between our head and our heart. In that the guy who's davening also would say, I believe, yet his actions in no way reflect the fact that he believes he's talking to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Because he's not living with that belief. It's a piece of information that he has. Now, it is true that on that first level of Chochmah and Bina, let's call it, just in terms of level understanding, we can all grow. At whatever level you're at, you can grow. Whatever level that I'm at, I can grow. This is the discussion of taking from that level, whatever level that is now, to living that belief.
Whatever level that
whatever
is
right
for you.
Even though you do also need to increase that level of understanding also. That's also, a person needs to go through the Chachma and the Bina and understand everything.
But saying that I have a lack necessarily of Bina, because quantitatively if we compare how much I have versus how much you have, because of, let's say, the knowledge you have versus the limited knowledge I have, we're saying that that is not going to be an impediment necessarily for me to move on to
right
the second step.
As long as there's some level of beer, though, there is a rebound. And if you don't believe, then it's not going to help. But that certainly is the first step. It just says that Mashal Umad Dar Vadoma. I used to think when I first started learning after high school, in a serious way, I used to think that the people who learned it because they wanted to learn, and the people who didn't want to learn didn't want to learn, and that as soon as I would decide in my head I wanted to be a learner, then I'd be able to learn. And I very quickly discovered that that's not true at all. First, a person has to decide they want to learn. And then they discover how hard it is to actually sit down in a chair for 3 hours straight and learn. Even though he already made the decision, that's what I want to do. That's okay, that's very nice. Then doing it is like a whole new ball game.
See, this is, it parallels very well to this.
That's exactly what I'm saying. In other words, so like, I believe. So a person might think, once I believe, then my whole life will change.
It's like you're tall. You can dunk a basketball, right? Right, so same thing, like, I'm tall, I should be able to dunk.
Right.
So, but having that idea,
having that ability,
you're
not going
to
get...
Yeah, but it still makes it hard, but you're not being... So there's like, even after I believe, it doesn't naturally translate into, my life will therefore go this way. And there's a gap in that we think it will. That if I believe, then I should be doing all these things. And then we have this kasha on ourselves. I don't understand. Why do I sometimes do these things? Why am I sitting here on Yom Kippur clapping al chait again for the same things? Like, do I believe? Don't I believe? Maybe I don't really believe. That's really, that's sort of what you're expressing, is that idea of, I really must not believe.
Right.
Because if I would listen to such music, I must not believe in a God.
Well, I mean, I believe in God, but
right. But I'm saying, but justifying that you're
defensive, right?
Right. You're
like an intervention now.
I'm not going to say who this is.
what you're doing, and what you did, is in your mind, is you addressed an inner tension that says, "How do my behaviors end up being X, Y, and Z?" And in my mind, I believe A, B, and C, and that really shouldn't go. So, well, maybe I have some doubts, or maybe I believe totally. That's sort of
my conviction's not that strong.
Whatever you came up with, which was really a way of addressing the fact that you're really just speaking for all of us, that our behaviors don't parallel our belief system. And he's saying, let me tell you why, because you got it in your head. That's very nice, but you're not living it. It's on your heart. You don't experience it. If I ask you the question, do you believe? You'd say yes, but we don't think about it. And therefore, our actions reflect not what's in our head, but what's in our hearts. How much is it in your heart? I won't drive on Shabbos. That much it's in my heart. I see a Kadosh Baruch Hu in front of me when I'm faced with the choice of driving on Shabbos. Like, not me. Why? Because that's real. But it's not in my heart in my daily interactions. It's not in my heart when I'm in the car you know, what kind of music am I going to listen to? If I'm listening to the ball game or to a shir, it's just not there. If I asked you, do you believe Akash Baruch is in the car with you also? Yeah. But, you know, whatever.
He invented the music.
So we mentally come up with reasons. I'm not there yet. My conviction isn't that strong. Whatever we come up with, you're just giving one example for you, but we could all express it in our own ways. Why we do the things that we do.
There's no way than someone who comes to you and say, you know, you talk, you want to get healthier or something. He says, well, yeah, everyone knows what to do. You got to lose weight, or what is it? Eat less and work out more. Yeah, I believe that. But you never get to...
So this is going to be the activity of that person who says, I really want to lose weight. And I know what I... Right? Someone says, I really want to lose weight. So does he need information? Right? Nobody in today's day and age who says, I need to lose weight, needs information. Maybe some details, but like, do we need to like be... Like, I got great news for you. Eat less, eat healthier, and exercise. Whoa! Who's ever heard of that before? Right, and yet it doesn't work. Why not? Because it's not a problem of in our head.
We don't live it.
It's somewhere in between our head and in our heart. Something gets lost where tomorrow, next week, I don't really believe this one brownie is going to make a difference. Like you name whatever we'll come up with, we'll come up with something. But it's not information that we're missing. In that example, we're talking about maybe you're missing the drive, maybe you're missing the conviction, whatever we'll come up with. In our spiritual life, we have the exact same scenario. We don't think of it this way, but this is what he's saying. Do you believe in God? Sure I do. Do you know you need to drink more water? Of course I do. You need to exercise? Yes. So it's the same way that your example, again, I'm not picking you, listening to music, this one listening to the game and not listening to Shir, is all the same thing of, well, I know what I need to be doing. But I don't know, ask anybody who's tried dieting before. Something happens, something gets in the way. In our spiritual world, it's the exact same thing. We know, and something's getting lost. So it's got to go from the idea, it's got to go from a piece of knowledge to an experience, to something that we live, so that the Ribon Shalom's presence is in front of us always. Yeah. Okay, I gotta get through this paragraph at least. Bivadai, I'm at the end of the fourth line down. Bivadai shi ef sharp pis oim. You cannot do this suddenly. For those of you who are getting frightened, like, well, what's this going to mean to my life? It doesn't work that way. In the same way as someone says, like, I'm going to change everything, I'm going to exercise, it doesn't go that way. Well, in the spiritual realm, you cannot go from the reality that we're in now to where, you know, I'm like connected to a Kalish Baruch Hu. That's not how it goes either. Ulam reishis zushi ifaso shaladim lichios b'chol rega mamish im zechir b'leiv sheish b'yav. First thing is the drive. I want to live a life, to be aware of the presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Ha'avoda ha'masis, the actual work that we need to do to get to that point, hinasis b'hadrega, that's going to be in levels, as we'll explain later. To live all day with that machshava sheish bar leolam. Before we begin to work on that, muchrach shiye bar lo, it has to become clear to us sheodam shechay im machshava tmidis belibo sheish bar leolam, that we have to become clear in this one idea: a person who lives with a constant knowledge that there's a kadosh baruch hu, v'adam shelo chay kein, and a person who doesn't live like that. So they're two different people. Two completely different people. One person who's living with that knowledge, and one person who's not. One more minute, we got to have a marv. Their entire essence of their life is going to be completely different. We have one living a life with a Kodesh Baruch Hu part of it, and one living a life without it. They're an entirely different type of world. You will feel like a beria acher, like an entire different creation, as the Rambam writes in Hilchos Tshuva, Eini oso adam klal v'klal. You're not the same person. That's the first step, recognizing that. And we didn't get very far, so I thought we'd get a lot farther than this in terms of working that. Task for next week is simply once an hour, put it into your clock on the hour, do it simply, just to say the phrase to yourself, Yesh borei la'olam. There's a creator in this world. Just that phrase. Just be aware, once an hour, on the hour, there's a creator. There is nothing more. We're just going to start simple, just to become part of our routine, part of our life. They're not changing anything. We're just beginning to bring it into our consciousness more than maybe when we daven, maybe. Just into our consciousness, there is a creator. Okay, we'll get together, Brit Hashem, next week, right before Rosh Hashanah. Right before Rosh Hashanah. Bring this home. It's next week.